It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Mr. President, in a week full of revelation after revelation, on a day when we thought things couldn't get any worse, they have. I was shaken by the report in the New York Times that alleged that the president tried to shut down an active FBI investigation into a close political associate. And we are only one day removed from stunning allegations that the president may have divulged classified information to a known adversary. Concerns about our national security, the rule of law, the independence of our nation's highest law enforcement agencies are mounting. The country is being tested in unprecedented ways. I say to all of my colleagues in the Senate, history is watching.
Yeah, they sure are. Sandy Rios with you. Well, it happened again yesterday, just as the special report was coming on, which is prime news hour for many parts of the country. The New York Times this time broke this story, and here it is. Are you ready? Obstruction of justice. Man, that is a charge upon which you could impeach a president. So they are salivating because now it seems that James Comey has leaked notes that he took in a conversation with President Trump. And the headline says that President Trump asked Comey to shut down a federal investigation in a private, according to after firing Michael Flynn, he asked Comey to shut down an investigation. That's the way it's reported. But the notes actually say, according to the person who called the New York Times to read Mr. Comey's notes to them, you know, interesting that the FBI is so cozy with the Washington Post and the New York Times, but they are, at least parts of them are. This is what Trump actually said, according to the notes read over the phone to the New York Times reporter. Donald Trump said, now remember, he's asking Comey to shut down the federal investigation, but the words he used were actually, I hope you can let this go. I hope you can let this go. And then he said, Flynn is a good man. I hope you can let this go. Those were his words. Those were Donald Trump's words. I hope you can let this go. And so that is their version. According, I'm assuming that if the notes said something worse, like you better shut this down, you'd better stop this investigation of Flynn, you better stop this investigation of the Russians into my campaign. But he said, no, I hope you can let this go. He's a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Those are the notes allegedly read over the phone to the New York Times reporter. But out of that, we have this firestorm. Chuck Schumer is claiming that this is just horrible. McCain, by the way, John McCain is out saying it's a Watergate size and scale scandal. Really? Really? And of course, the networks are constantly now beating the drum on impeachment. And so are members of Congress. Over the last 24 hours, according to Grabian, almost every interview with Democratic politicians has included a question about whether we're getting closer to impeaching Donald Trump. Wolf Blitzer led the charge, bringing up impeachment 3 separate times Tuesday evening alone. And I have a report, if I can find it, on how many times the networks have been talking about impeachment. It is just unbelievable. Angus King, who is the senator from Maine, talked about impeachment with Wolf Blitzer. They are just salivating. And remember, the Washington Post just printed an article with the headline yesterday morning, Trump must be impeached, and here's why. I mean, they are smelling blood in the water. They are just absolutely beside themselves. Like, it's almost like those old movies used to see where the mob would gather and they would kind of egg each other on. Oh, yeah, hang him, hang him. And it's like they get more excited with every phrase. That's, I think, what's happening in Washington. And 2 days in a row now, Fox has dropped all of its coverage of any kind of other news. Nothing except the fixation on this report from the New York Times. And yesterday it was the fixation on the report from the Washington Post. And that's all they talk about. And so, you know, Washington, you have to understand, is absolutely obsessed with itself. Obsessed with itself. Thinks the whole world revolves around Washington, which in some ways it does. But they get into this vortex of circular talk, and there doesn't even have to be any there, which I would argue in this case there is not any real there. I think one of the guests on the panel yesterday on Special Report was Steve Hilton, and Steve used to work for Prime Minister, I don't know, the British Prime Minister, Cameron, David Cameron. And so I want you to hear what he had to say, because I think he's spot on. Let's listen.
It's another example, I think, of President Trump just being treated differently because he's an outsider. In my experience working in government, political leaders are indiscreet with each other and with people they shouldn't be revealing things to all the time. You should hear the way that diplomats and civil servants talk about their political principles. They literally talk about going around with a poop scoop to clear up the messes they make. Not President Trump, but people like Obama, like David Cameron, who I work for, Angela Merkel. This is normal. It happens. They're human beings. But because it's President Trump, and because he's an outsider, the system, to use Lindsey Graham's term, is just rejecting him. And I think that we've got to get back some sense of proportion over the things that are really troubling and important, and those that, frankly, are no different to things that go on all the time. So far, with everything that's happened in this presidency that has caused all this outrage, what you've actually seen is the real resilience of the Constitution and legal protections. Now, if something really nefarious was done by the president in this case, no one, I think, has any doubt that that will be handled appropriately. But no one's established that yet. So I think everyone just needs to calm down. And actually, the real point I'd like to leave our viewers with is, wouldn't it be great if we could just focus, to coin a phrase from Charles's book, on the things that matter to real people's lives, which is none of this process that goes on in Washington, but it is the issues that McConnell was talking about, tax reform. What are we going to do about health care? How are we going to get jobs back and incomes up? That's what we should be discussing.
And I have to say again, Fox didn't talk about any of that stuff yesterday. They were completely focused on the New York Times report. That's all they talked about. And there was other news, important stuff. This Seth Rich scandal is unbelievable. This is the DNC staffer who was one of the techies on the DNC, who it appears, according to reports from an investigator, it's not Rod Wheeler, it's Rod is reporting what he's learned from this investigator, that Seth had shared something like 44,000 email, had sent them to WikiLeaks. And remember, Julian Assange was offering a $20,000 reward to anyone who could give information about how it was that Seth Rich was shot in the back downtown D.C. in the middle, I think it was in the early morning hours when it was still dark. No robbery, nothing taken. He had an expensive necklace. He had his cell phone. He had his wallet. Nothing touched. The video shows two men. They can only see their legs. And they shoot him in the back. And Seth Rich, now it appears from this investigator, his laptop shows that he was communicating with WikiLeaks. That's what Julian Assange hinted at, which means, it means this. If this is all true, which it seems like it is, it would mean that it wasn't the Russians have denied, not that you can trust them, leaking these DNC email to WikiLeaks. It looks like it might have been an insider, which is what has been totally obfuscated. And of course, if Seth Riches was killed because he was leaking those email to WikiLeaks, that would completely ruin the narrative of the left right now, that somehow Russia was the cause of Hillary Clinton's loss. They were the ones that leaked the email that caused all the problem. And so interesting that even Fox didn't talk about this yesterday. Now, Fox has finally run an article on it, but I have to tell you, that's an insider at Fox who blocks this, doesn't want this reported. I know this from the inside. So this is the big story. From my perspective, that is the big story of the day. The fact that, and the FBI, by the way, Jim Comey's FBI, has the laptop. It's somewhere unavailable. No one can seem to see it. And remember, it was Jim Comey's FBI who did not go into the DNC email. When they were hacked, the FBI offered to go, let us help you. We'll help you figure out who's hacking, who's releasing John Podesta emails, who is telling us that that the questions for the debate were leaked to Mrs. Clinton to hurt Bernie Sanders. We know now that it looks like it might have been Seth Rich who did that. And so, but all of that is contained in that laptop, which it looks like the FBI has under James Comey. Interesting, isn't it? But James Comey is so intent, it seems, on destroying Donald Trump, not so much getting to the bottom of what happened to Seth Rich, who was murdered in the back with two shots. Not so much about Mrs. Clinton's email. Remember, he allowed Cheryl Mills to keep her laptop and destroy it, she and another staffer, in the middle of this Hillary Clinton email scandal. I mean, it is pretty shocking. And I think Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch made a good point. He said, you know, Comey has been in office for 4 years. If he makes such copious notes, how about maybe there might just maybe be other notes we might want to see that James Comey has written about other things? I agree with him. I think that's a great point. And by the way, as far as we know, even now, General Flynn did nothing illegal, nothing. If he had done something illegal, we would know. With all of these leaks, don't you think they would leak exactly the nefarious, horrible, no good, lousy, whatever thing that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn did? The reason he was let go was because he was not honest and forthright about what he talked about with the Russian ambassador. He had every right to talk to him. There's nothing nefarious about that. But if there was something bad that was shared, if he made some promises, if he colluded with them to do something bad to this country, we would know this. We would know this. There are transcripts. The whole conversation has been leaked, but we don't know. And so, so back to the issue of the New York Times. So Donald Trump says allegedly to Jim Comey, he's a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Well, that's nefarious, isn't it? Isn't that, you know, that's impeachable, according to Wolf Blitzer, according to Chuck Schumer. It's just unbelievable. I have this great article, which we will put on our Facebook page, that is talks about what happened to Scott Walker in Wisconsin and how that was a training ground, just a rehearsal for what they're doing to Donald Trump. And you may not remember, but Scott Walker was attacked in every way. There was so much corruption in that. The left took over the Capitol, destroyed property, intimidated members of the House and the Senate in Wisconsin. The judges were actually writing, doctors were actually writing fake excuses for people to not show up at work in order to collude with all that was happening there. There was a total breakdown. They were so mad at Scott Walker for pushing a law that was going to give the unions less power. And so they were rabid. They did everything. They did violent things. They went to the courts. They did what they called, I can't remember the name of it. It was an investigation where no one had a name. It was just an insidious thing where they didn't know who was coming after them, who was bringing the charges, what the charges were. It was a nightmare. And yet, Scott Walker prevailed. The unions did not, and Wisconsin's never been the same then. I think the idea, and I think it's a good one, is that if Donald Trump can stay the course and that the American people can support him when he deserves to be supported, we maybe could get past the hysteria and narcissism of Washington and the evil intent of people like John McCain and Chuck Schumer, who want to bring down Donald Trump no matter what, which would inevitably at this point, under these circumstances, be so harmful to the country. I'll be right back after this.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Truth Be Told with Nate Kellum, Chief Counsel at the Center for Religious Expression.
The Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments in a case about whether the government can discriminate against groups just because they are religious. Trinity Lutheran Church runs a daycare in Missouri and sought to participate in a state program providing recycled tires to surface children's playgrounds. But Missouri selectively rebuffed Trinity Lutheran's daycare, claiming a church's participation would violate the Establishment Clause. The Supreme Court has recognized time and again that the Constitution does not permit discrimination against groups on the basis of their religious character. In this critical case, let's hope they remember these rulings and that the First Amendment requires religious and non-religious groups be given equal opportunity.
Truth Be Told from the Center for Religious Expression, clearing the path for truth. Hear more at CRELaw.org, CRELaw.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Business these days has been pretty good for Brian Claywitter of Grandville, Michigan. He owns Diesel Tech, a company that repairs and modifies diesel trucks. The other day, he decided to give back to the local high school. He spent $1,500 for a full-page ad in the baseball program, along with a banner for the outfield fence. But the school district refused, said his company's logo violated the law. The Diesel Tech logo is God Country Diesel. And the school district said the word God was problematic, had to be removed. But they also took issue with this full-page ad. The ad included a crossword puzzle with words like turbo, torque, Bible, Jesus, and power stroke. The school district said he had to remove every religious word in the puzzle. Brian refused to budge, so the school district canceled his advertising. And in doing so, religious liberty struck out in Grandville, Michigan. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Protesters shouted outside as the lieutenant governor fulfilled his promise inside.
We know it's going to be a tough fight.
Thursday, Dan Patrick unveiled the Texas Privacy Act, a 12-page bill requiring people to use public restrooms of their biological sex, and a $1,000 fine for schools or government agencies that violate it.
Are we going to have bathroom police? No. What this is it allows an individual who feels uncomfortable to report that.
Opponents call it unnecessary and say it discriminates against transgender people. But Patrick has a majority of Texans on his side. A poll we conducted last fall shows 54% don't think transgender should be able to use the restroom with which they identify. And that makes it tricky for lawmakers. On the one hand, citizens support it, but 1,100 businesses, including many of the state's largest, do not.
Will this bill even make it to the floor of the House for a vote?
I don't know. The first indication that this isn't going to move very fast is the governor saying, well, let's talk about that for a little bit. And I think just the governor throwing a little bit of cold water on it may slow it down enough that everybody can get this sorted out before they actually have to cast a vote.
Republican State Representative Matt Shaheen is introducing an alternative on Friday, preventing cities and schools from passing their own laws, but his will not require people to use the bathroom of their biological sex.
We need to be focused on local issues like law enforcement, criminal justice, parks, recreation, those types of things, and leave the bathroom discussion to the nonprofits, to the business community. Let them work out those issues.
And that's the debate likely to define this legislative session. Jason Whiteley, Channel 8 News.
All right, that's a report out of Texas, in case you hadn't figured that out, because Texas is now going through their own battle on trying to protect their bathrooms and sort of establish a baseline where you use a bathroom that comports with your biology. Who would have thought that in Texas you couldn't pass a bill like that? Pastor Dave Welch joins us this morning. He's the executive director of the Texas Pastors Council, also one of the Houston Five, if you will recall, when the mayor of Houston subpoenaed the messages of those pastors in Houston, and they refused to turn them over. And that's when I think Pastor Welch first got involved in these kinds of issues, and he's been a powerhouse ever since. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Dave.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. This is just kind of hard to hear that even Texas can't seem to sort out something that should be so simple. And I think, I know that report we played is not brand new, and lots has happened, and bill numbers are confusing because we're talking to a national audience. So could you please tell us now what is happening with a bill either in the House or the Senate that would protect the bathrooms?
Well, Senate Bill 6, which the story referenced in Dan Patrick introduced at the beginning of the session, passed the Senate fairly rapidly. But once it got to the House, it literally was never even assigned to a committee because of liberal Republican Speaker Joe Strauss. And after a couple of weeks and an increasing and massive pressure by pastors and leaders all over the state, and turning on the governor as well, began to asking the governor to step in. Another bill was introduced in the House finally. It did receive a hearing, and then it just sat there and never even received a vote. So the state of it right now is that we're down to the 11th hour, and we keep being told. In fact, yesterday, one of our major pastors was told by the House Republican Caucus Chair that he could be assured that a bill was going to pass out of the House. But, we've been being told that now through much of the whole session. And this has been a real learning experience for a lot of pastors who haven't been exposed to the sausage-making of politics at the legislative level.
So to kind of make it simple, on Saturday, the deadline's Saturday, right? It has to, according to the session rules, something has to come out by Saturday?
Yes. The Senate bills that are in the House have to come out of the House by Saturday. That's correct. So we don't, honestly, at this point, the odds are likely that nothing will come out. But we began several weeks ago calling for a special session. It seemed to be fairly evident that the House was just simply didn't have the will to get this passed through. But the governor has the ability to call a special session, and we had major mega pastors, including some of the top mega pastors in the country here in Texas, calling on the governor to commit to holding a special session if a bill protecting the privacy and safety of women and children didn't pass. So that's become actually very much more likely at this point in time because of other dynamics that have played out. The Freedom Caucus in our House threw a monkey wrench in the train of the speaker and killed over 200 bills last week, including the sunset bill. Well, in Texas, that's required by the Constitution for the legislature to pass. And with the budget issue they're stymied on, and now this, we actually have a very good chance. And the governor came out again yesterday and openly called for a privacy bill to be passed. So we're feeling, confident. We have a lot of momentum right now at this point. And Lieutenant Governors stayed very strong on this. And at this point, we're at the point where we're reminding pastors all over the place, look, in this arena, if you just show up and you haven't earned the capital of having influence, by your continued presence, then they'll just ignore you or patronize you. And we have to commit to, as we tell pastors all over, you've got to stand up, speak up, and stay in.
If there, you know, there are a lot of people listening from Texas, Dave, to this show. And so is there something, tell us what that people could do, citizens of Texas, who are outraged by this. And you know what? We have to maintain our outrage. It's easy, is it not, to sort of get lethargic because you fight, you fight, you fight, you fight. It never ends. It never ends. It never ends at the national level. It never ends at the state level because the left never stops. And I think our people get tired, don't you?
No, you're exactly right, Sandy. And this is part of the change of mind and thinking that has to occur in the church. Look, we're called to occupy until he returns. That doesn't mean occupy until we're worn out and then we can go on vacation or retire. The reality is we are stewards here of God's creation and caretakers. And in this country, his authority to govern is that's vested in us is part of that stewardship. We don't have the latitude of going and sitting on the sidelines, especially, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, to remain silent in the face of evil is evil. And this is as evil as it gets when you are destroying the very framework of God's created order of male and female and telling children you're not a boy, you're not a girl, you can make up your own as you go. And that's something that if pastors and God-fearing and decent citizens across Texas right now especially don't determine that no matter what the cost, that we will stand and hold everyone accountable, Republicans and Democrats alike, on this issue, then we're going to stand before God and account for that. So there's no time for letting up on this. And we're asking people to continue to call the governor. Governor Abbott needs to call a special session, needs to make it clear that he will, and to tell Joe Strauss, you to get this done in this next week, or you'll be here for the summer.
Let me give the phone number, because you have this on your alert. That's what brought this to my attention yesterday, or 2 days ago. The number that the Texas Pastors Council is giving to call Governor Greg Abbott is 512-463-1762. 512-463-1762 or 512-463-2000. 463-2000. You know, and I wouldn't you also say that it would be, don't they also need to call their legislators? Especially if they have a relationship with them.
They do. And then you can continue to call the state representatives and ask them to vote for a bill. And it may be SB 6 that comes out at this point, or it may be amended to another bill. So we don't know yet for sure how that will take shape. But tell their reps, they want the privacy and safety and freedom of women and children in Texas protected. And we have, there are over 80 co-sponsors of the House bill that did receive a hearing that wouldn't move out of committee. There are votes on the floor to pass this. It's just the determined commitment of Joe Strauss, the Speaker, who is really a Democrat, that's using the tyranny of his power to shut that down.
You know, you probably noticed in that report we played out of whatever outlet that was in Texas, that the claim was that only 54% of Texas voters want this, and you know, I see in your alert here that you say a survey showed that 80% of Texans are in favor of some sort of protection. How does that reconcile? What is your source for your numbers?
Well, one of our conservative groups commissioned a statewide poll at the beginning of the legislative session of cross-demographic citizens in the state. And the question was asked, do you want biological males to be allowed to use females' facilities, showers, locker rooms, and restrooms? And that answer is 80% no.
Well, see, that makes sense. Can you imagine? I mean, Texas it prides itself in being Texas. And part of being Texas is men being men and women being women. I have to say, Dave, when I think of Texas, it's beautiful women who take really good care of themselves and take joy in their femininity, and guys who take a lot of joy in their masculinity. Has that changed in Texas?
Nope, it is not. And, you know, here's the thing, Sandy. We know, in fact, you know, when you look at the statistics, whether it's available data right now through studies like the Meyer-McHugh Sexuality and Gender Study done by John Hopkins professors, at the best, at the high end of this, we're dealing with 0.5% of the population. That's the high end, that are gender confused. And so the question begs, what is this really all about? And, you know, Sandy, we always have to point back toward the baseline of all battles, and that is between light and dark, between Satan attempting to seize God's throne and to destroy what God created. And if you think about the fact that God created not just order, but in order, created man in his image, he created woman, then he commissioned them to become united as marriage, and then to create family, and that became society, culture. We have literally had the deconstruction war that's torn this down piece by piece to the last thing left is the first thing God created, male and female. And that's what's at stake here. And we're going to have to decide how important this is to the church. And in Texas, we believe most people, there's no really doubt about it, the people out there and the voters are strongly in support of this concept still. But we're going to have to, we have to realize that those who know how to use power use it well. And the left has done that very effectively. We see it in Congress all the time. And we certainly see it, unfortunately, in a state like Texas.
Let me repeat that number. You're asking people to call Governor Greg Abbott and ask him to call for a special session. And most deeply, you're asking him to expedite whatever it takes to make a bill, provide a way to make a bill pass that will protect the bathrooms, protect women and children, men too, and little boys. Everybody is protected by this bill. And the phone number is 512-463-2000, 512-463-2000. Also, you want to call your state rep and make that same make the statement, and don't be apologetic about it. I know a lot of pastors are writing letters and making strong statements, but Dave, I think you're right. You know, even more than the issue of gay sex, homosexuality, gay marriage, this issue now goes even deeper, not just because it's about bathrooms, but it goes to the issue of God's natural order. Male and female created he them. We know it's important, that gender is important to God. And so now that is at the, that's at the very center of this attack. It was at the attack before with the homosexual radical agenda, but now it's coming, becoming even clearer, isn't it?
Well, it is. And in fact, one could say that this is the natural sequence and consequence of the sexual revolution. Because if we're just animals, as Pavlov states in this whole Kinsey report, this whole framework of the rise of secular humanism, and you know, we're simply bound together by some code we create, then this all makes sense. This comes down to a fundamental clash of worldviews, and either you believe in a creator God or you don't. And if the God of the Bible, and we know and believe he is real and this is created, then the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will succeed as long as he is, you know, Scripture calls us to contend with evil. And so like a trampled spring and a polluted well are the righteous who fall down before the wicked. So it's not out of hate, it's out of love. Out of love for God and love for people and the love for the children and our future and our posterity that we must stand, contend. And with God's help, we've seen victories occur when victories seemed impossible.
Well, we know everything is possible with God. I think of David's challenging Goliath when he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who comes against the armies of the Almighty God?" And so we have a great God, a great and mighty God. We need to call upon his power. In fact, I do that right now in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray your blessing and your power upon the people of your people who live in Texas who are fighting this battle. Be with Dave and the pastors who are taking this hard lead, which is not easy. They have their hands full. They're doing many other things. Lord, bless them. Give them energy and prosper their cause. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Dave Welch,
Amen. Thank
you so much. And Texas Pastors Council, for those of you that have not joined, any pastors listening, come alongside them and do what you can. Dave, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks.
And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments on President Trump's temporary immigration suspension order. During the argument, Judge Paul Niemeyer questioned the ACLU lawyer. Judge Niemeyer asked, if a different candidate had won the election and then issued the same order, would it be constitutional? After a bit of verbal squirming, the ACLU lawyer admitted, yes, it would be constitutional. This is evidence that the issue is not the Constitution, it's Trump. The political elite cannot allow a successful President Trump, so they must destroy him.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
As a group, millennials have more than $1 trillion in purchasing power, so you know businesses are watching us. By 2025, we'll comprise 75% of the workforce, so employers are watching us. Despite these positives, millennials are losing our faith, so we know Satan is watching us. Engage Magazine is for millennials by millennials, and it speaks to faith, purpose, and a closer walk with Jesus. Because above all, God is watching us. Visit EngageMagazine.net.
Nothing but truth. It's Crane Durham's Corner of the World, where hard-hitting questions are asked.
People are going to be looking for answers.
And he's heard here, only on American Family Radio.
America needs to be restored to our fundamental foundation, which benefits us all.
From economics and national security to life and marriage, you'll hear the top stories of the day. Experience nothing but truth for yourself. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Frank Afton with the Secure Freedom Minute. Citing unnamed present and former U.S. intelligence officials, the Washington Post claimed Monday that President Trump revealed highly classified information to Russian emissaries in an Oval Office meeting last week. The article raises several concerns. First, if true, it would unfortunately be but the latest in a series of instances in which officials of both parties put at risk sources and methods of collecting sensitive intelligence and/or relationships with foreign services that share such information with us. Interestingly, previous episodes have generally received less critical scrutiny. Second, this leak underscores the fact that Mr. Trump has subordinates, among them holdovers from the previous administration, who seem deeply hostile to this president. Third, the president's national security advisor, General H.R. McMaster, and his deputy, Dina Powell, insist that the reported incident didn't happen. Someone is lying. We need to know who. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Well, first, let me tell you that the effect on our local community are folks who are trying to get home. They're picking up their kids from school, daycare, and they cannot use Massachusetts Avenue leading to Sheridan Circle. You look right over here. That's due to the protest. This gentleman is in handcuffs. We do not know if he has been officially arrested. But you look right across the street. That's outside the Turkish ambassador's home, and there are people protesting right now. They have Turkish Turkey flags. One woman says she is protesting in solidarity with the government, whereas another person says he is against the Turkish president being in town. Let's roll some video just to show you the skirmishes with police. Now, the DC Fire EMS confirms that one person was transported with serious injuries, 9 people with minor injuries transported by DC Fire EMS And right now, police are still trying to calm things down here. It looks a lot calmer in comparison to what happened earlier. The Turkish ambassador's residence is on the 1600 block of 23rd Street by Sheridan Circle. That is where the protesters gathered. There was a scuffle during the protest, as I told you, report of injuries, but nothing too serious. Again, right now, if you plan on taking Massachusetts Avenue leading to Sheridan Circle.
Okay, that's enough of that. That's an NBC4 out of D.C. I played that because that just happened yesterday. And it's such an incomplete report. It's actually pretty. Does it surprise you, the same press that won't talk about Seth Rich being murdered? And now we believe sending email to WikiLeaks, it could be that Seth Rich, the Democratic computer expert, may have been the one who leaked the email to WikiLeaks, not the Russians. But that, nothing about that. And in this report, violence. It was, you should see the videos of this. And what happened was that Erdogan, the president of Turkey, prime minister of Turkey, his bodyguards attacked the protesters. You should see the videos. They were violent, and the people were taken to the hospital. This is in the streets of, this is in a neighborhood where the embassies are in Washington, D.C. It's an upscale area. And so the bodyguards come after these protesters. Remember, Erdogan is really a despot, and he's taking more and more power, and the people of Turkey are beside themselves because they were moving to freedom. That's not the topic we're going to talk about today. My point is that violence is breaking out on the streets everywhere. We have protesters. In fact, Tuesday at noon, MoveOn.org organized a riot, or not a riot, I'm sure, a rally. They'd call it a rally in the streets of Washington to protest Senator Sessions. And we're seeing all kinds of things break out on a daily basis, but something else is planned for tomorrow. So I've asked Dr. Jerome Corsi to join us today because Dr. Corsi has written so many great books exposing a lot of really bad things going on in our culture, including the Obama Nation, Unfit for Command, all kinds of things. And I've asked him to join me this morning to talk about the planned attack now on the new FCC chair, Ajit Pai. And it's all over repealing Obama's net neutrality rules. It's complicated. We haven't talked about it much, but we need to. And Dr. Corsi joins us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Corsi.
Good to be with you. Thank you, Sandy.
Nice to have you. I don't know, first of all, maybe we should say, I don't know if you want to go into the whole issue of net neutrality. If you do, and you can give us a brief explanation of what the issue is, that would be great.
I can do that. I mean, it's another issue where the left has named it opposite what they're doing. Net neutrality means the internet service providers, like if you hook into the internet through AT&T or Verizon, they have to provide equal access to everybody. But the gateway giants, like Google and Twitter and others, are not regulated the same way. They can censor content. And that's why Obama liked these rules, because the plan was let Google censor out conservatives and then force the ISPs to carry Google on an equal basis with everybody else. The whole idea is that the Googles, the Twitters, the Facebooks are the giants, and they can squeeze out, censor conservative content. That's why President Trump wants to repeal the rules, net neutrality rules, which are really not net neutrality. They are a path to censorship. And to get the regulations being handled by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, instead of the FCC, which would regulate this as a common carrier, which would ultimately mean more censorship. That's the short explanation of why George Soros wants the Obama net neutrality rules kept in place.
All right, now Ajit Pai was on the FCC as a commissioner. He's been, you know, so bold. Before he was the chairman, of course, after President Trump was elected, he became chairman. And he's been doing some marvelous things. And before that, he was a real fighter. He was a minority on that committee, and he took his hits. Now he's leading, and he's trying to reverse these rules, which, as you explained, would create more censorship on the internet, which is not a good thing. I'm sure we would all agree. So George Soros is sending out his goons to protest Ajit Pai. Tell us what they are talking about doing.
Well, the George Soros has put tens of millions of dollars into these AstroTurf groups that sound like they're really for, you know, freedom on the internet, when what they want is censorship of conservatives. And he's funded these thugs, essentially kind of trained radical anarchist henchmen, to go into the neighborhood where Ajit Pai lives and to create violent protests within that neighborhood to intimidate Ajit Pai and to back him off from repealing the net neutrality rules. And that's what's happening all across the country, is you're getting violent protests from the left. It's morphed. It's changed into the anarchists, the radicals, the thugs. We saw it during the inauguration. And this is another version of the inauguration violence that's coming to visit Washington now over Ajit Pai and the net neutrality rules being repealed.
And who protects someone in their neighborhood? Who's going to protect someone who lives in the District of Columbia, who has, you know, popular resistance coming out, Disrupt J20, Code Pink, Antifa? These violent protesters, when they come into your neighborhood and sit around your house, who's going to protect you, Jerome?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's going to be up to the D.C. police. And if it gets too out of control, you'd have to call in the National Guard. But I think these protests are going to be D.C. police. And the people in the neighborhood are going to be dependent on the D.C. police really arresting these people and prosecuting them for what are serious crimes. This is no longer, you know, your Martin Luther King peaceful protests. These are not just marching and singing. These are people rock throwing, burning limousines, breaking windows, destroying property, and injuring people. It's a whole different phenomenon that is not protected by the First Amendment.
You know, it was the Disrupt 20, J20, that did all of the damage during Trump's inauguration. And according to this report, Jerome, they were armed with hammers and crowbars. And then that's the same group that was planning on using, according to Project Veritas, they caught them undercover, planning to use acid to throw on people attending the deplorable. Remember that?
Oh, I was at the inauguration and saw them firsthand. I mean, these were people wearing masks and black hoods. They were breaking things. They had crowbars. They were hurling insults, they were spitting on people, they were trying to cause fights. I mean, this is not protest. This is a anarchist, violent, new morphed protest from the hard left that you see in Berkeley and the protests there. You see it in D.C. And now Ajit Pai is going to have to be faced with it simply because he wants to make sure the internet is not censored so conservatives are, you know, which is Soros' plan, to ban all conservatives as fake news. And that's what these net neutrality rules are really all about.
I don't ever understand. We, of course, talk about Soros a lot on this show. You can never say everything about George Soros because he's involved in everything. I just read an article that the ACLU is planning, has this radical plan to subvert Jeff Sessions. And in this article, which is coming, I don't know what the source of this is. I just printed it out, but it's called the Smart Justice Campaign. They've gotten a $50 million grant from George Soros, and now he's poured $1.45 million just in Philadelphia alone, because what they're trying to do is get district attorneys elected that will undermine Jeff Sessions' purposes. So the point is, though, that Soros is pouring so much money. And the thing I don't understand, Jerome, is why is he never under tax audit? Why is he never under investigation for subversion, or for un-American activities? Why is George Soros never charged with anything, it seems?
Well, for the last 8 years under President Obama, we've had a very politicized Department of Justice and FBI that would protect and has protected. Soros did not investigate the Clinton Foundation, despite it being, I'm convinced, a criminal operation, completely violating all charity laws. The hard left in the United States, this is not the Democratic Party of John Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey. This is the Democratic Party of the hard left. Tom Perez, who heads it, is a radical La Raza lawyer from Maryland. He's trained as a street radical. And Keith Ellison, who is co-chair of the Democratic Party, is a black Muslim from Chicago. And these are basically hardcore radicals. The Democratic Party is going into a disrupt. You know, they don't want to work with the Republicans. They don't want to work with President Trump. They want to disrupt because they're so convinced their ideology is right. They don't believe in the First Amendment. They believe in thought reform. They believe, as the communists and socialists do, that their ideological correctness gives them the right to cause violence on anybody who disagrees with them. And that's completely antithetical to the principles on which this country was founded.
You know, actually, I read an article this morning that, in a dark and foreboding way, encouraged me. And it was this. It's written by William Jacobson. And he says, Jerome, that that Wisconsin war on Scott Walker was a training ground for the resistance war on Trump. And he goes back and reminds us of all the horrible things they did to Scott Walker and how corrupt the judiciary was. Even the doctors wrote lying notes, excusing people for participating in these, taking over the Capitol building. The obstructed legislators, they came to their neighborhoods. They brought criminal charges. It was an all-out assault on Scott Walker and anyone that supported him. And yet Scott Walker's legislation on unions prevailed, and so did Scott Walker. And do you agree there are lessons to be learned from that?
Yes, I think that the Democratic Party is at risk of marginalizing itself into becoming a radical, revolutionary, European socialist-style party that the average American wants to have nothing to do with. And if the entire agenda is to put judges in who, you know, do not want to enforce our laws, want to, in fact, Obama was releasing criminals, in fact, not just drug users, but serious drug traffickers from prison, wanting to pursue a criminalization of American society. Because in Saul Alinsky model, what these people want is to rub raw all these conflicts so that you create chaos, and they believe that'll turn everything into a socialist state. That's the plan. They're on a Saul Alinsky model. And it would be a mistake not to understand that Soros is funding that model because he wants to bring the United States down. He wants to destroy our freedoms under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and it's a serious threat. I mean, you see it every day in Washington, and now the mainstream media is joined in on this anti-Trump movement. If everything Trump does, they plan to resist and oppose, even violently.
Yeah. You know, I think the one thing that will stand out to me of the things that you've said today is that it was Comey's FBI who did not bring any charges, as far as we know, ever go after George Soros. And they could have done that, Jerome. They could have done that. And I think that's just one more black mark against the FBI under Comey. It's just amazing the things they did not do. But they took notes on conversations with President Trump, and when he said that Flynn was a good guy. And could you, he's a good guy. Can we get this thing to a conclusion? That's the crime. George Soros, not so much. Jerome Corsa, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll have to do this more often.
Look forward to it, Sandy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right. All right, well, there you go. It's kind of a mess, isn't it? And that's kind of the nature of man without God. It's chaos. And so that's why we need to just come into his presence and help him, ask him to order our minds and to help us to get up and start being salt and light and ordering our world. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.